In retribution, on the other side, Jehovah says, look, I am weaving against this tribe a wretchedness that you shall not remove from off the backs of your necks. You shall not dance cock-a-whoop in that time for your adversity. That's Micah, once again, chapter 2, this time verse 3, and it's the version of yours truly, as usual, from 2003, our daily scripture for today, little children. That is the Bible study, but I wanted to show you something very, very interesting here that no other translation has done. In verse 2, we talked about it yesterday, and daughters marrying them. The translation of yours truly is the only one that has that expression of marriage with the daughters being included. Now, take a look at this. In the parallel Google, or it's not Google actually, it's Bible Hub. In the parallel translation, this is Micah 2 and 2, and all the words are mentioned here. The word that corresponds to marrying them is this word that says, and seize them. It's Waneseu. The Hebrew word, something like that, is the pronunciation. Waneseu, or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but that's it. So, it's to, and seize them, it says. Houses and seize them. The first, or the preceding word was houses. And seize them. Now, in the context, to take the house was one translation that was given commonly, but to translate that word directly, it's translated, and they married, and then I translated it again, and they married, when I put them as separate words. Both times it was translated, and they married. Whereas when you translate it as a whole, took away houses and married, even then in the Google Translate, it got the idea of marriage right there. They coveted fields that took away houses and married. So the idea of marriage is in the literal Hebrew, and it's been ignored by every other translation, every other major translation, as far as I can tell. But I haven't searched high and low to find out if anyone else in the whole world ever has used the translation similar to the one that we gave, but that is really remarkable because it's right there. The idea of translating that as the married is contained therein. Let's see if we go back one. Can we go back to the parallel? I think we do have, there's something called the parallel Greek and Hebrew. Yeah, that's it. Micah chapter 2, and you see there's where I got the expression from, the same Hebrew expression that I copied. This one. I need to copy the whole thing. Just like that. And then I pasted it into the Google Translate. And it might not work this time. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see. No. Wait a minute. Hang on. Copy. I need to do a paste. I didn't do paste. Let's do a paste here. Right? How can we copy it? Let's do a copy here. Well, let's try and delete that. Let's see. Right. Just delete everything. Just start again. Okay, paste. And took wives. It translates, took away houses and took wives. See that? So it translates it the same way that we did in the Google Translate. The Google Translate is possibly where I got the idea from to translate it that way, but that's what we got in that translation. I think I was, I didn't know I didn't know I'd done it right there in that location in my that's okay. That's all right. Okay. So this is the article now for that we've been studying, the article Joseph and Own, with Joseph 30 years old in 1923 BCE, because the book of Genesis, at Genesis 41, you see this, the Micah 2 and 2, you know, says houses and they've taken them. It doesn't mention wives in the New World Translation either. Only our translation has that idea of the daughters being taken as wives, and that is very important, I believe, to the whole meaning of that scripture. It changes the whole context, the entire meaning. And we saw yesterday, Genesis chapter 41, at verse 40, only as to the throne, Pharaoh said, I shall be greater than you. And he was speaking to Joseph. But Joseph was, as we saw, in verse 46, 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Right there, 30 years old when he became the second in command of all of Egypt, okay? And that was in 1923, exactly 430 years prior to the Exodus. In our chronology, that makes sense because it's completely consistent with the Bible. So he's born, calculating from there back 30 years, in the year 1954, either early in 1953 or late in 1954 BCE. The birth month is Heshvan, the eighth month of the Jewish year, as given by Demetrius in the article Green. You can look that up in the article Green if you want. We're not going to look that up probably because we have a lot of things to talk about, I believe, plenty for today. But what modern mirror dates might correspond with these dates of Joseph, the son of Jacob, in Egypt? Because we look at the mirror, right? And since 1923, in our common era, is a date that has already gone by. If it were the year 2050, well, the year 2050 has not arrived yet in our common era. But the year 1923 certainly has. And what we mentioned yesterday also was 1923 was a very important year for copyright. There was a new copyright law passed in that year. It changed everything for copyright. So that's it. Even that in itself was a major thing that happened. But what modern mirror dates other than that might correspond with these dates of Joseph, or including that one, actually, with these dates of Joseph, the son of Jacob, in Egypt, as we have seen them recorded for the genealogy as relating to all other historic dates? We've looked at the 1493 mirror date, which is the establishment of the New World by Columbus on his second voyage after 1492, the first one, wherein he discovered, or during which he discovered, America, the New World. Does it make sense when we examine the mirror of the common era, is the question. By the way, this is now paragraph 14, because there was a very short paragraph here. This is paragraph 12. It said, what is 1923 BCE besides 430 years earlier than the year of the Exodus, 1493? That was a whole paragraph just in one sentence. But the mirror date we're going to talk about is Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile in 1954 CE, which is the mirror date for the birth of Joseph in 1954 BCE. When Mr. Bannister, in other words, before the Common Era and after the Common Era, or after the turn of the Common Era, that's the CE, it's the Common Era, that occurs after. There's no zero CE, but there's a 1 BCE, and then the next year is 1 CE, or 1 of the Common Era. It turns, the Common Era turns from 1 BCE to 1 CE without a zero year. And at that turn is the place where we reflect all the dates, so that 1954 of the Common Era is the on the opposite side of that mirror. from 1954 BCE. Now, when Mr. Bannister did break the 4-minute mile on May 6th, 1954, that's our common era, that's about now 70 years ago, he was the first man in history to run under 4 minutes at a mile distance. The record achieved, Roger retired from running later that year. His 1955 autobiography writes The First 4 Minutes. That's the title of the book, The First 4 Minutes. I'm going to just show you the video. I don't think we're not going to read what he said after the race. Okay. This is a video about that. Okay. That's it for that video. Well, his last lap kick was called the Bannister Burst. And later, in 1954, Mr. Bannister beat John Landy, in the same year, that is, of Australia. He beat John Landy of Australia in a mile race in Canada, in which both men broke the 4-minute barrier. And we saw that, well, after that, many people broke the 4-minute barrier. But in 1923 CE, what significant event occurred? In other words, the mirror date to 1923, which is Joseph becoming the second in command of all of Egypt in the genealogy. We just saw the 1954 mirror date of Joseph's birth, which was Roger Bannister breaking the 4-minute mile. Well, in 1923 of our common era, in Egypt, which was receiving Joseph as ruler in 1923 BCE, what occurred for the first time in 1923 CE in the mirror? April 19th, 1923 CE, the Constitution of Egypt is first promulgated in the modern age by the newly proclaimed King Fouad I of Egypt. This is the first constitution ever for the country of Egypt. 1923, the mirror date to Joseph becoming ruler of Egypt. It's too unbelievable or too incredible, perhaps, to believe. It's too magnificent, perhaps, to believe. How great is this for significance? As to the date, what is the Julian date when Joseph stood before Pharaoh and received rulership of all Egypt, seeing as it was Nisan 15, the very day the Israelites left Egypt 430 years later? We saw that they left Egypt on Nisan 15, as it said at Numbers 33 and 3, right? Now, the very day means, it could also mean not just the very same day as the beginning of the 430 years. That's one meaning. It could also mean they left on the very day, which means, it could mean, well, they always left at night, right? On a journey, they would always leave in the desert when it's hot. In the Middle East, where it's so hot, they would journey at night because it was so hot, too hot to go in the daytime. So that's one thing. So when it says the very day, it could also have this other meaning. It does have the other meaning that, you know, it could be later that day, in other words, right? And we have some, you know, possible problems with what exact day they did leave. But those problems don't really relate to, you know, they relate more to the Egyptian information, you know, to the date of the accession, Thutmose III, which works out to be May the 1st in that year, 1493. But it was a backdated date. It's a very problematic, all in all, a very problematic date, because he subsumed the rulership of his aunt, or his, I'm trying to think if she was his aunt or his stepmother or whatever, but Hatshepsut, he subsumed her reign, but she had subsumed her husband's reign, so her accession date was also the same as her husband's, and so was Thutmose III's, who succeeded her. He subsumed hers, so his date went right back to that same date. But then Thutmose II, who had begun ruling after the Pharaoh, his father, had died in the Red Sea, he began to rule on what day is the question. And because they were in Egypt very loath to admit that the Israelites had caused the death of their Pharaoh, or that Jehovah had killed the Pharaoh, it's very, very reasonable to believe that the night when the firstborn of Pharaoh died is the night when the Pharaoh who succeeded that father of the firstborn, you know, who died very soon after the death of that firstborn, Thutmose II succeeded Thutmose I. It's very reasonable to assume that Thutmose II's succession date went back to the date of death of the firstborn, which was, in our chronology, May the 1st. Or it's so close, it's so close to being May the 1st, or May the 2nd, and the date in the Egyptian calendar, it works out to May the 1st, so we have this a little bit of a one-day conflict or debate of this one day. See, but we know that if they left on the Passover, according to what we believe, they would have left on the 14th, except that that was a holy convention, the first day of the Passover celebration, which was 1 week long. The first and last days of Passover were holy, so they couldn't have left on the 14th, you wouldn't think. It's very interesting when it says the very day. That makes us think that it doesn't mean later the same day, if it's one day later that they left. So the very day must more likely then apply to what we took it as meaning, which was that it was the very same day, 430 years after Joseph had become king, or after they'd begun ruling. I mean, living. After the Israelites had begun to live in Egypt, which was exactly the same day when Joseph stood before Pharaoh and became a citizen of Egypt, because there were no other Israelites in his family, or any Israelites at all, living in Egypt at the time when Joseph stood before Pharaoh. So it's exactly the right alignment. So it must have been Nisan 15 when Joseph stood before Pharaoh. That's what we said. Now look at this. So, okay, we can look at the... I'm not going to click on that link because it might be broken, but April the 2nd, according to that link, was a new moon in 1923, but that's not what Cauchy said. Okay. Cauchy says, let's see what Cauchy says for this. And then we'll show you another. The Church of God is the other one. What's it called? The Church of God Study Forum is the other one. But Cauchy says in 1923 BCE, April 3rd was first visibility, so it would be the daytime of April 4th, which would be the first daylight hours on Nisan 1 in 1923. But by the way, in that year, when is that? Do I have it shown here? I don't even know if I've brought it up yet on the... I don't think I did. Let's see. No. But we can do that. We could say negative sign and then 1923. Why do I want to show that now? I can't remember. Plus 3 hours. We're going to go to the new moon. But there it is. Look at that. 1923 BCE. Well, that's the conjunction. Right. Yes, yes, yes. So it is conjunction April 2nd. Right. That's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon local time in Egypt. Approximately, well, more like 4 o'clock, because plus 2 hours would be more closer to local time. But anyway, it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon by our own calculator. April 2nd, that's the conjunction. So that was correct, actually. All right. Fascinating. I forget why I was wanting to show that. But that was a good reason to find that as a reason why we looked at that. There it is. That's the new moon, right? That's the new moon, but that's not the first day of the month. Because first visibility, according to Cauchy, was April 3rd on the evening, so the next day was April 4th. That would be Nisan 15 in the daytime. And thus, you know, that's Nisan 1. And the first day of the month is the new moon being visible on the 3rd, according to Cauchy. Where is it? Right here, yeah. April 3rd, 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon, Greenwich time, the moon, that's 3 hours later Egyptian time, or 2 or 3 hours later Egyptian time. You know, so it's seen in the evening of April 3rd, 1923 BCE, which is minus 1922 in the scientific convention, as we've mentioned before. Okay, so April 3rd being the evening, then the April 4th is the daytime Nisan 1. And we add 14 days to that to get to Nisan 15, and we get April 18th, or thereabouts, Nisan 15. But we can also look at another source. Well, we should look at another source. That was Gauchy. And then there's the Church of God Study Forum for 1923, which is in BCE years minus 1922. We see here April 3rd was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's Thursday, April 3rd. Right, and we saw Wednesday was April 2nd if we looked at the Liap previously. But anyway, this is, we also have Nisan 1, the same day it's as April 3rd. But that would be the evening, according to Gauchy. So really, you know, the daytime Nisan 1 is actually on the 4th of April. But Nisan 15 is also, again, a Thursday. That would be the evening of that day, right? And that is the 17th, and therefore the 18th is, as we said, the daytime of Nisan 15 in the year 1923 BCE, which is exactly what Gauchy said also. So we have complete agreement. And the conjunction, of course, of the moon was on April 2nd, as we said. Okay, so, but let's look at abdicate. Nisan 1 in the Hebrew year 1838, which is 1923 BCE, Nisan 1 is given as April 3rd. Again, although that again we saw was the evening, right? That's the first, the beginning of the day, just when the first moon sighting occurs for that month, the first visibility of that lunar crescent in that evening, April 3rd. So that agreed. I don't, now this might not work, but I'll try it. I'll go to IR. It doesn't always work if you don't do it. There's a time expiry on this, then you have to refresh the page, but this worked. So IR, the first, is May the 3rd. It's actually 30 days different because April only has 30 days. But that's incorrect based on what Gauchy says. That's the, this says 30 days in Nisan, according to Abdicate, that website, which we use as a reference all the time. I've used it, not recently too much, but I used it a lot when I did my research initially. So, but if you look here, April 3rd, and then the next first visibility for May is May the 2nd, not the 3rd. So is that it? Gauchy shows in her calculations for, this is for Memphis in Egypt, right? And this is the time, we're talking about Joseph in Egypt also. So this is for Memphis, Egypt, and Joseph was somewhere, you know, he married the daughter of the priest of On. On is Cairo in the north, and Memphis is north of that. They're both in the north of Egypt. And these lunar calculations don't differ much. They don't very much, they don't change much, no matter where you are on the earth. So it really doesn't matter, but it's quite close in location, too, to where Joseph was, this calculation. So it's even better that way. But it shows 29 days in April here because it's one day less, right? It's May the 2nd and April 3rd. April 3rd and then May the 2nd is one day less than 30 days because April has 30 days. So if it were May the 3rd, it would be a 30-day month. But it's a 29-day month. So that is amazing because I said here, it's possible we had a 29-day month. No, I don't think that it was, that Nisan 15 was April 19th. We don't think that. So even though I wrote that in the paragraph, I don't think that's really what, we don't need to have that. It'd be April 19th. Because Joseph could have been appointed on the 18th, but he could have made his decree. He could have issued a decree of some kind, right, regarding the famine and what they were going to do on the next day after he was appointed. It could have happened the day after. So it could have been the 18th plus 1, or the 19th of April, when he issued his decree And Nisan could have had 29 days anyway, like we just showed, which would make it correspond to the month of Nisan in the Exodus year, 1493 BCE, of our chronology, which is 430 years later, which is also taken to have 29 days. So there's a lot of similarities there, it looks like, and between those years. But the date of April 19th is the interesting thing there. Jewish months, because it corresponds to the same year in the 1923 year of the Common Era, when Egypt got its first constitution. April 19th, 1923, the new constitution was declared that Egypt become an independent nation and the constitutional monarchy with separate executive. This was historical, a very historical event, April 19th, 1923. The mirror date to Joseph giving his decree possibly on April 19th, 1923 BCE. So how similar is that? But months, okay, in the Jewish reckoning were determined by a combination of moon sightings and day counting, we believe, and it may be that there were other factors as well. But months did typically begin a minimum of 18 hours after a new moon, with this allowing time for the new moon to be observed. So that possibility exists, that the modern Egyptian constitution was brought forth on the very same calendar day as that on which Joseph received rulership over Egypt, and on the mirror date precisely, too. Not just same calendar day, but the same year number. So perfect a symmetry. Exclamation point, sincere ones who honestly desire to know the truth do go on, for we might now imagine that the day after Joseph's appointment by Pharaoh, a similar thing may have taken place in Egypt to what occurred in 1923 CE. Joseph issuing something in the way of a body of commands, perhaps in writing, such as a constitution, so the people of Egypt could prepare for the coming 14 years, revealed by Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dream to be a time of plenty and famine, 7 years of each, right, which required exacting actions. And that is our study for today. There's a footnote regarding the moon phases that I used to be getting from the source known as Fred Espenak, which was part of the NASA website, and he became he moved to astropixels.com, by the way. But we use our LEAP calculator on the Will of Jehovah homepage now. Now that's it for today's study. It's January 31st, 2025 of the Common Era, 20:02 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Wasn't that amazing? And this is Sissy, and this is Star on my behalf saying bye for now. That was paragraph 14 and 15 and 16 of Joseph and Owen by yours truly.